Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. I've been trying for like an hour to get this episode started, but I keep getting distracted by the news. I made the mistake of opening up social media and seeing that Donald Trump had just announced that he was changing his mind and he was not going to be using the emergency SNAP benefits fund that the judge had ordered that he use. I'm recording this a week ago from when you're listening to it, so I'm sure much has changed. Everything has changed on this in the last week. And this is not the topic of today's episode. It has nothing to do with today's episode. But it's just fascinating to me to watch the President of the United States declare, despite being ordered by a judge to feed hungry people, that he is refusing to do so. And this just after the weekend in which he held a multi-million dollar Halloween party. It is a let them eat cake moment. Anyway, I digress. I hope that you listening to this a week from now are saying, oh, don't worry, Corey. SNAP benefits ended up happening, and we're not watching millions of Americans go hungry this week. Well, with that said, let's dive into the episode today. I feel like this is going to be one of the most consequential topics that we will discuss on this podcast as Collapse carries on over the next several years and decades. It's something that we've touched on before. We've done episodes on it, you know, in our weekly episodes, and we're going to continue to hear news on it going forward. And it is in regards to geoengineering, this idea that humans can undo climate change, not by reversing the actions we've taken to get ourselves here, by lowering our emissions and removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, not by healing Earth, but with some technological fix that will allow us to essentially put lipstick on the pig, this idea that some sort of relatively easy fix can simply undo all of the problems that we've brought upon ourselves. We've gone over this, the issues with this, right? We've talked about solar radiation management. We've talked about why it won't work or why it shouldn't be done because of the potential risks and negative consequences that could come from it. That said, I don't believe that's going to stop people or governments from trying. And lately, it is picking up steam. The wealthy are beginning to invest more. They're asking questions. They're posing solutions. Companies and startups are beginning to explore, test. They're doing iterations. They're seeking government approvals because everyone wants to be the one to make the money from saving the world. It makes me think of the movie Don't Look Up. When I first saw one of these articles that we're going to talk about here, Don't Look Up came to mind immediately. There is a plan that has been put in place. It is going to require sacrifice to resolve. It requires people to come together, to be unified in order to bring about this change, right? They're going to fly this rocket ship into the asteroid, into the comet. They're going to blow it to a million pieces. An astronaut is going to have to sacrifice himself to make it happen. And there's a high degree of certainty that if they do it this way, that it will succeed. Well, we know what we have to do here. We've known what we've had to do for decades to stop climate change. We simply never became willing to do it. As a globe, especially our global superpowers, never came to a consensus to actually act. They had their pledges which, you know, if they were kept, may have kept us below the worst outcomes of climate change. And instead of keeping with that, they did not hold their pledges. And in Don't Look Up, what happened? Well, as the rocket is just about to leave the atmosphere, just as it's about to head towards the comet, they call it off. Why? Because the richest person in the world, the techno innovator, says, hey, wait a minute, there is actually a way in which we could make trillions of dollars from this comet if we could, instead of exploding it, let it get closer and then harvest these rare earth minerals from it. And of course, that attempt fails, the comet hits Earth, and everybody dies. Well, with climate change, instead of taking the action that we know could slow things down, could leave the Earth in a habitable zone for humans and other life, we're carrying on. And the wealthy are saying, instead of making less money by sacrificing economic growth, let's make more money. there's got to be billions or trillions of dollars in economic gain by saving the world through these outlandish and risky attempts. How will that end? Well, there's no guarantee, and we can hope that it doesn't end like in the movie. So what are some of the updates on this? In reference to one type of geoengineering, which is solar radiation management, SRM, there is even a further subtype of SRM called SAI, stratospheric aerosol injections. So SRM, solar radiation management, is the idea that we can stop the amount of sunlight coming into Earth. SAI, stratospheric aerosol injections, is one way in which they believe they can stop sunlight from reaching Earth, or as much sunlight. The idea here is that because of volcano explosions in the past, these eruptions which sent all of these aerosols into the atmosphere, it blotted out the sun and it lowered the Earth's temperature. And so they're saying, well, why can't we just do that same thing by purposely injecting aerosols into the atmosphere and therefore decrease the amount of sunlight in maybe certain areas where most needed from reaching the Earth? Well, we've talked about various reasons why it's dangerous, why it's risky, why it may not work. There's a new research paper that just came out a couple of weeks back called Engineering and Logistical Concerns Add Practical Limitations to Stratospheric Aerosol Injection Strategies. I'm going to read the abstract. It says, the use of reflective aerosols in the upper atmosphere to limit incoming sunlight has been proposed as a potential means of countering anthropogenic climate change. Such a strategy ideates from observed cooling effects due to sulfate aerosol formation following volcanic eruptions. Solid mineral candidates have been proposed as a sulfate alternative, potentially lowering environmental risks like ozone depletion and absorption of radiation. I'm going to stop there for a second. So the original idea was, well, let's just do it the exact same way that volcanoes do it, with sulfates. But they're saying there are risks to sulfates, known risks, like ozone depletion, which, hey, we spent a decade trying to fix that and succeeding in fixing that issue in the early 2000s. Let's not rip new holes through the ozone by throwing up a bunch of sulfate. It also is risky because of the additional absorption of radiation. So instead, it says, the bulk of SAI modeling literature focuses on optimal deployment scenarios in which practical constraints, microphysical, geopolitical, and economic, are not considered. So they're saying most other papers and research on this topic simply talks about the idea of the theoretical response of our temperature based on the application. They don't talk about what the application methods would actually be and how feasible it would be to accomplish them. It goes on to say, here we explore several key micro and macroscopic aspects of deployment that may directly increase risk and the degree to which technical and governance approaches could be levied to offset it. We find that the risk and design space for SAI may be considerably constrained by factors like supply chains and governance, logistical and technical considerations, most significantly difficulties in dispersing solid aerosols at scale in the desired size range, and the radiative properties of potentially formed aggregates notably introduce uncertainties in the outcomes of solid-based SAI strategies more so than sulfate. We conclude that the design space for a low-risk SAI strategy, particularly with solid aerosol, may be more limited than current literature reflects. In other words, this paper is talking about how it is a much more limited potential than previously believed, and it was previously believed already to have a limited potential, and that it's due to geopolitics, possible negative environmental consequences, and the fact that we can't even really find the correct compound to use in the first place. I'll link to that paper if you want to get more into the details about each of those limitations. But for now, we're going to go to this article from Gizmodo, which talks about how Elon Musk now states he wants to block out the sun. The CEO of the largest satellite company in the world just proposed a bold and totally misguided solution to the climate crisis. Early Monday morning, Musk took to X to share his two cents on how to address the climate crisis. He claimed that using satellites for solar radiation management, a theoretical geoengineering technique that would allow humans to control the amount of sunlight reaching Earth, would be an effective solution. Musk's solution here, it's not about aerosol injection, but it is still SRM. It is still solar radiation management. How can we block out the sun? He says on X, quote, a large solar-powered AI satellite constellation would be able to prevent global warming by making tiny adjustments in how much solar energy reached Earth. Now, Musk does not give details on this proposition, simply states that it would work and that he wants to accomplish it. When he was asked how this would ensure precise, equitable adjustments to solar energy across the planet, while also accounting for seasonal variations and potential geopolitical conflicts over control, he replied, "Yes, it would only take tiny adjustments to prevent global warming or global cooling, for that matter. Earth has been a snowball many times in the past." So essentially, he's not answering the question at all, because he hasn't thought about those things. What he thinks about is the fact that, I have money, I can make more money, here's a problem, I'm going to invent a solution, or a supposed solution, consequences be damned. Experts warn, it says in the article, that this strategy is both highly unrealistic and dangerous. While he didn't give a lot of details, it says a growing number of companies are exploring different approaches to SRM, from using atmospheric aerosols to mimic the sunlight blocking effects of volcanic eruptions to launching thousands of mirrors into orbit, which we will talk about in a moment. If Musk's SpaceX wades into this burgeoning industry, these startups will suddenly find a very big fish in their very small pond. To be clear, Musk has not shared any plans for SpaceX to develop these capabilities. And even with the company's billion-dollar valuation, talking about SpaceX itself, and the enormous Starlink constellation it's already deployed, doing so would be far easier said than done. It talks about how the likely cost would actually be in the trillions for this. And while he didn't share the specifics on how they'd work, they would likely be equipped with mirrors or sunshades that come together in formation to create a gigantic, manipulable barrier between Earth and the sun. Scientists don't know exactly how many satellites it would take to make a meaningful difference in Earth's average temperature, but estimates range so high that many experts consider this solution infeasible, with estimates in the multi-trillion dollar range. And even if Musk could make this happen, it doesn't mean he should. Experts have long warned of the potential consequences of space SRM, which could trigger major unintended changes in Earth's climate, the day-night cycle, biodiversity, geopolitical tensions, and more. Lastly, I'll read here, it says, avoiding these consequences and actually mitigating global warming would require unprecedented technological control and international governance over the largest and most impactful satellite constellation ever deployed. What is so concerning to me about all this right now is that this type of thing should require massive regulation, massive testing, and I think if the correct amount of regulation and testing was applied, it would likely in the end not be allowed, because they would find the potential consequences being too high of a risk to put the entire Earth through. But with our current state of things and with regulations being slashed, with Donald Trump removing the agencies or the departments that would be in charge of such regulation, and with it becoming more and more about money and how Donald Trump can enrich himself, all it would take is for Elon Musk to go to Trump and say, hey, you're going to get a kickback of some absurd amount for letting us do this. Trump would say, okay, and we can say that we're saving the planet in the process and find a way to blame the Democrats for the issues. Elon would do it, not caring about the geopolitical ramifications, not caring about the negative consequences that it might have for other nations. There would most certainly not be the level of geopolitical inclusivity or cohesiveness that would be required in order to make this sort of thing equitable. And it would be potentially disastrous. Well, moving on to one last article. This one gives a little more specifics as far as one project that is currently being launched, or which they are attempting to launch, and the negative consequences of it. This is not even necessarily an attempt at solar radiation management, at least not in the traditional sense, because this attempt is to actually bring more sunlight to Earth, but in a more targeted way. So this is from space.com. And the title says, this company's plan to launch 4,000 massive space mirrors has scientists alarmed. Quote, from an astronomical perspective, that's pretty catastrophic. Reflect Orbital is the name of the company, says their light-on-demand idea has generated significant interest from commercial and government customers. Essentially, I'm not going to read through a bunch of this, but they have made this idea where they're going to put 4,000 massive satellites that have mirrors on them in space, which will allow them to direct sunlight into very specific areas at times when the sun is not normally shining, especially right before sunrise and right after sundown. This paragraph says, according to the company's application with the Federal Communications Commission, Reflect Orbital wants to fly its demonstration satellite next year with an expected launch date in April. Once in orbit, the satellite will unfold a mirror that measures 60 by 60 feet, in order to demonstrate its ability to direct sunlight down onto targets on Earth. Their idea here is effectively to extend daytime hours. They could direct these at solar farms. They claim that they will be able to make crops grow better and stronger, possibly replace urban lighting, and provide emergency illumination in disaster zones and enable people to work into the night. From a sci-fi technology aspect, kind of cool to think about. You know, there's an earthquake someplace in the world at 2 o'clock in the morning, and a satellite or a bunch of satellites fly over and provide enough light to make it feel like day for, you know, to assist in the emergency response. I'm not going to say that there are zero cool possibilities from this, but the article says the project, which promises to help increase clean energy generation during peak use morning and evening hours, has alarmed astronomers and biodiversity experts who are concerned about the effects of light pollution the constellation is going to produce. Now, at first you might be like, okay, so it's a little brighter at night or whatever, but this has more deep impacts. It says, quote, the reflectors will be directing their light, even after they pass their target, because obviously they can't just shut that off. This is John Barentine, an astronomer at the Silverado Hills Observatory in Tucson, Arizona. He says the beam reflected by these satellites is very intense, 4 times brighter than the full moon, and they will be flying multiple satellites in a formation. They will have an effect on wildlife in the directly illuminated area, but also through atmospheric scattering on the surrounding areas as well. Robert Massey, Deputy Executive Director at the UK's Royal Astronomical Society, said the astronomical community was, quote, seriously concerned about the development, its impact, and the precedent that it sets. He says the central goal of this project is to light up the sky and extend daylight, and obviously, from an astronomical perspective, that's pretty catastrophic. Light pollution fundamentally disrupts the natural day-night cycle that has governed life on Earth for billions of years, says David Smith. He is an advocacy and social change manager at a charity called Bug Life. By effectively extending daylight hours through artificial light and blurring the boundaries between day and night, light pollution interferes with the circadian rhythms, physiology, and the behavioral patterns of countless species. Rising light pollution levels have already been linked to the decline of insect populations and the rising incidence of sleep disorders and depression in humans. There are migratory patterns that would be disrupted for birds based on star patterns, on light, where that light's originating from, where it's going. Massey, who we just quoted a second ago, talks about how the existing satellites that we have are already causing problems, and those satellites are actually doing their best, or those companies, I should say, are doing their best to reduce the amount of light being reflected off of their satellites. This company, Reflect Orbital, is literally trying to do the opposite. They're trying to produce light from their satellites, which will be directed at Earth. Anyway, they are sort of seeking permission to do this trial launch in April of 2026. We'll see if they get permission. It is, again, one of those things that would set a precedent that would unleash this ability to create more light pollution in the atmosphere. There'd be competing companies. No doubt Elon Musk would want to compete with that. He'd probably even make his proposed satellites for SRM have the dual capability to increase sunlight where possible. This company said they have 25,000 different requests from governments and corporations for use of such a product. We did an episode once upon a time on the Kessler syndrome, which is this idea of once there is too much space junk, it becomes impossible to be able to leave the atmosphere. Any rocket or satellite sent up into space will be obliterated because there's just so much junk flying around. It is a potential risk for our current technologies that rely on GPS, other types of satellites. And so every company that continues to engage in this increases the risk of that occurring more and more. All right, to be determined how this plays out in the coming years, which companies find themselves allowed to make attempts at solar radiation management. What are those attempts? What are the consequences going to be? We'll keep track and we'll keep talking about it. Thanks. Bye. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.